Good morning, everybody. We are in Parashat Pekudei, which is the last parasha of Sefer Shmot. And there are a few interesting things to learn. First of all, we see again and again and again that they do all what they do in when they doing the Mishkan, building the Mishkan. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Like God ordered Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the way they do it. And it's repeating itself again and again and again. And the first question is why? Why do we need the repetition all the time? And the thing that Moshe Rabbeinu got it from God, and he told it to Am Yisrael, so it could be Vayedaber Moshe el Am Yisrael, Kasher Tziva Moshe. But the Torah is saying again, Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. Because you see, the Mishkan is fixing or trying to fix the sin of the golden calf. And when they did the golden calf, they maybe had the best intention of the world, but we all know, with the best intention, you know, you can go to, sometimes even to hell. It depends what you do. It's not only the intention, it's what you're doing with your intention. And Am Israel, they saw God, they heard God, and in a certain way, they had a problem. Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming back. And whatever happened is, they thought that maybe they can find with a golden calf a connection to God. They didn't think for 1 minute to really worship idols. Of course not. They just know so God. And if they wanted to worship idols, as we said, again, they wouldn't approach Aaron to do the golden calf. They will find somebody else. Aaron is the brother of Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you come, it's like you go to the chief rabbi and tell him, I want you to make me an idol. This is not the right address. So we see from all those things that they had good intention. So what did they thought about? It's like they were at such a high level that we have the chariot of God, which is the Merkava, which they call, which is something above. That one of the figures that is carrying the carriage of God is an ox. So they said, we'll put one of those figures, like a golden calf, in here in earth, so we can connect to God. But of course, we all know it was a wrong thinking and wrong doing. So here we see that even though you know things, sometimes you don't listen to yourself. You don't decide by yourself what to do. You listen to God. Because even if it sounds not right, for example, when the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael, and they came back and says, we cannot go in, Eretz Ochelet Yoshvea, etc., etc. And we know what happened. The next day, Am Yisrael regretted what they do. They did tshuva and said, okay, we're going now. We want to go in. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? You cannot go in. They went, and they died. They were killed. And the question is why? We know the gates of tshuva are always open. They did tshuva. God asked them to go into Eretz Israel. They didn't want yesterday. Now they want. They're doing tshuva. The point is, what did God tell them after they didn't want to go in? What did they tell them?
They have to stay out.
You have to stay out for 40. You don't go in now. Even if you think it's a mitzvah, why? It's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Israel, yes. But God told you
not to
go in. So you don't go in. And this is exactly what's happening in our parasha. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. The same as God ordered Moshe, they did exactly with no self-opinion. They did exactly what God told Moshe Rabbeinu to do. And this is an important thing because this is the only way they control God and fix what they did wrong. So this is why we have all the time Kasher Tziva Hashem Et Moshe. Kasher Tziva Hashem Et Moshe. Then we have another interesting point. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them exactly where he put everything in. Ele Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdut. He says, tells them exactly what every piece of gold, every silver, everything, exactly where it went in. And one of the ideas is that he's doing it because that they were, let's say, thinking that maybe he did something wrong. And oh, this is also a funny thing. When we're talking about the Mishkan and all the things, the tools and everything, there's so much gold in it. We read it. This is with gold. The menorah is from gold. The mizbeach is from gold. The table is gold. Everything is covered with gold. So a lot of gold there. So here, Am Yisrael want to have, we want to know exactly the balance. What did you do with every penny? But when they did the golden calf, this was a small thing. Nothing to compare with all the gold that went into the tabernacle. Nothing to compare. Then, they didn't ask for a cheshbon. They didn't ask for an accountant. They didn't ask for to know exactly where everything went. And this is also a lesson for us. In life, also, when it's regarding giving truma, tzedakah, to a good cause, we do exactly the calculation how much we can give. But if it's for our own joy, we're large. Money is no object. 1 minute. Before they ask you a donation, you said, 1 minute, I can give this, I can give this. Now, when you're talking about holiday or enjoying, money is no object. And you spread, and you do put money here and there. And this is the way we act. So the Torah is also telling us, this is the wrong thinking. When you do calculation, you do calculation on everything. And maybe it should be opposite. When it's regarding holy things, money is no object. When it's regarding daily physical things, money is an object. You check exactly what you do with your money. Where does it go? So this is another lesson that we learn. And also one of the interesting things when we talk about Kasher Tziva Hashem et Moshe. Sometimes we also think for ourselves and we do a big mistake. And what does it mean? We don't understand really what is always written in the Torah. By the way, this is the reason that we need also Torah Sheba'al Peh. We need also the oral Torah, because without the oral Torah we know nothing. For example, chametz. What is chametz? Chametz in Hebrew, because it says chamutz, sour. So you won't eat lemon on Pesach. If you don't have Torah Sheba'al Peh, how would you know what to do? And when you're talking about Brit Milah, Katuv Orla. Orla. Orla is also written in the Bible. If you look only at the Bible, the written the written Torah, not the oral Torah. So it's written Orla, Orla Tapeh. There is Orla Ta'ozen. There is Orla Talev, the Orla of the heart. So what would you do now if you don't have the Torah Sheba'al Peh? You will take the little baby, cut a piece of his ear, cut a piece of his mouth, then do an operation to cut a piece of his heart. Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Exactly. So this is why we understand that the oral Torah is a part from the written Torah. It's one part, it's one thing, and all was given us from God. And that's exactly here. It says, Kaser tziva Hashem, Alpi Hashem. What's Alpi Hashem? Alpi, Alpe. Oral. Alpe, Be'alpe. When you say something Be'alpe, is oral. Orally. So, there was this group of, I don't know if I told you this story, there was a group, this youngsters that were getting closer to doing tshuva, well, on the procedure to do tshuva. And in one of those Shabbases, the Rebbe that was teaching them what to do, what not to do, took them for Shabbos in Bnei Barak and spread them in a few families. So they sit now at a table, and this rabbi sits on the table with his family. This is a guest there, and they just started eating, and suddenly one of the youngsters comes in, and he looks terrible. Says, "What happened?" He says, "I was sitting on the table, and the balabait asked me, and I'll say it in Hebrew because in Hebrew it will. I hope you understand it. If I'll explain it in English. Ata rotze latzet levad." You want to go out by yourself, or ani yotzi otcha, or I will take you out. That's what he understood. But what this guy really meant, and heard this, ta rotze latzet, or shani yotzi otcha? Ta rotze latzet levad, or shani yotzi otcha? They were talking about Kiddush.
Yeah.
In Kiddush, there are those who they want to be yotze by themselves. So they do the Kiddush for themselves, even if the balabai does a Kiddush, they do also a Kiddush. And there are those that are, for them it's enough to hear the balabai doing the Kiddush, they don't need also to be Yotze by Balabai. So what he did, what he thought, the guy doesn't know what is Yotze and Kiddush. He heard, Ata rotze latzet levad? You want to go out by yourself? Or?
I'll take you out.
That's exactly, when you translate to English, you understand what he understood. The guy is telling him, Ata yotze levad? Ata rotze latzet levad? Or shani yotzi otcha? He run away. And the same way is like, I had a second cousin that came to Israel for a function, and she was going around to buy a dress, and she came home crying, and her mother asked her, why are you crying? She says, every place I came, I'm putting the dress on, and the shopkeeper is telling me, Chaval al hazman. It's chaval, a waste of time. In English, waste of time. But in Hebrew, when you say Chaval al hazman, it's
very nice.
Beautiful. It's very nice.
Beautiful.
So she came home crying. Every place I came, they says me Chaval al hazman, a waste of time. So this is again to show us how careful we have to be, because if we don't learn and if we don't know, don't jump, because maybe it's not exactly as you think. You don't exactly hear what you know. And this is exactly what we mean, Al Pi Hashem. You have to do what God asks you to do. And if you have questions, you still do what God tells you to do, because otherwise you can get to wrong conclusions. And if you have other problems, of course you go and ask somebody who knows. That's why when we're talking about oral Torah, it's not only the Torah that we know as the oral, it's even all rabbis today. They are the representative of the oral Torah today. So if you have a problem, you go to them. And whatever they say, as the Torah says, Lo tasu min davar asher amru lecha yamin usmol. You should not go. You will go to the Navi sheyeh bayamim ahem. You go to the one, to the judge, to the rabbi that is in your days. And whatever he tells you, you do. Right or left. And even if he tells you on right, left, on a left, right, you still do what he has to tell you.
Yeah, but what happens if you have two rabbis in a town and one is Orthodox and one is conservative,
so,
and they tell you the opposite.
So what do you have to do?
You listen to the Orthodox.
This is an easy question. Huh? Of course you go to the Orthodox rabbi, because the conservative rabbi is not a rabbi in our eyes, okay?
But if you, even between...
that's what I'm saying. Even between, let's say, Orthodox rabbis, you have difference of opinion.
Yeah.
So, okay, that's exactly the point. You see, we have to be very careful. Now, how do we know that things are all right or wrong?
I just want to say something quickly. I don't mind getting married to the Tzedek if his Giur is recognized by the Beis Din of the Eid HaRed in Jerusalem. Then it's for me 150% Jewish,
yes.
And I'm prepared to go out with him for Shidduch.
Yes, 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 exactly. Because we have to do our own calculation. One of the things is very interesting. Chovot al-Vavot writes it. I read it in Hebrew and I explain it. וכבר נאמר, כשתעשה מעשה שיודעים בו בני אדם. When you do something and you want to know if it's good in the eyes of God or not good in the eyes of God, if you're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Something that you do normally in public. So, ותרצה לעמוד על ברוך, when you want to know, am I right or am I wrong? Am I doing the good thing or the bad thing? B'chan benafshecha, test yourself in two faces, two ways. One way, echad mehem shteda ma ata mekaveh b'maaseh ahu min hagmul, u'mimi ata mekaveh oto. What do you expect to get from what you do? And who do you expect to give it to you? The second thing, im yumein lolokim, u'shalem, if you accept, you expect to get it, the reward from God, so it's 100%. If you expect to get it from a human being, from your friend, or from who knows what, it means that you're doing it for yourself or for the benefit you've get from your friend. So it's not for God. Then the second thing is, שתדע מנפשך שאם היית מתייחד, היית עושה המעשה הוא על העניין ההוא, if you would be by yourself and nobody sees what you do, would you do the same thing?
Yes.
If it's yes, So it's good. So then you're perfect. That is a good thing to do. But if not, you have to try starting working on yourself to change the thing. Because a lot of times we do things because others do. They see what we do. So you can see sometimes somebody who comes and davens and does good things, but the whole thing is not doing it because he wants to do al pi Hashem. He wants also that people will think that he is a righteous guy, but he's really doing it for himself, for his own egoistic reasons. And this is the two things you have to test when you do something in public, especially. First, what do I expect to get out of what I do? And who do I want to reward me on what I do? If I don't expect anything, just doing it because God wants me to do, perfect. But if I want to gain something, and I want to gain it from somebody else, except God, it's wrong. The same thing is, the next test, if what I'm doing now that everybody sees, would I do this in the same way if nobody sees? God sees everything, of course. But we have to put it in our mind and understand. And then we can get to the level of doing things even if nobody sees us, or if they see us, we do it for God. And those are a few tests to check what really are we doing. And knowing if something, choosing a rabbi, it's not a selech harav, it's written, it's not a simple thing. So you have to think to yourself, you know, in each one, the Rav Dessler says that each one of us got the truth point inside him, which is, by the way, the neshama. In other words, if you want to do the good in the eyes of God, stop for a minute and think, because God gives you the power. He gives you the power, don't worry, to know what is right and what is wrong. And you know, deeply inside, we always know if it's right or wrong. But sometimes it's convenient to us to listen to this rabbi and then the other rabbi, because it's good with what we want to do. But think to yourself, deeply you have something, it's not exactly, and that's exactly the way you choose a rabbi. When the rabbi, yes.
Excuse me, in Chutz Lord, you are bound by the rabbi of your kahilah, as we were, and he made a decision, and I felt for 18 years it was the wrong decision. And when I came on Aliyah, of course I was free, and I went to a Hasidic rabbi, head and admiral,
yes.
And he agreed with me. He completely reversed.
So,
18 years.
This is a very interesting situation.
Yes, because.
This means that even if the rabbi is a rabbi of the kahila, and by the way, it was also in Ranana, I don't want to go into names and things, there was a rabbi that was doing a lot of things that are not exactly according to, he was deciding by himself. A young rabbi, he thought he is he's so close to God, he knows everything. This is the golden calf, that's the sin of the golden calf. They were not stupid. They were very clever. They were dog de'ah. They called de'ah. De'ah is connecting to God. And they did this golden calf. Or even if they didn't do, they saw it happening and did nothing about it, as we explained. So in other words, it's not always the knowledge. It's when the knowledge, as we said, connected to the heart. And the knowledge connected to the heart and to the Torah. If otherwise, if this rabbi, young rabbi, he wants to show off, as we said, so this is not your rabbi. You have to be very careful. Even if you're in this kahila and you see the rabbi is doing something wrong, you have to check. That's why we have gdolei hador. We have those who are in charge. It's like in the army. You have the sergeant, then you have the officer, and then you have the head of everything. So you don't go directly to the minister of security, you go first of all to your commander. It can be a sergeant. Then you go to the officer. But that's the procedure. But also here, in the halacha way, also, if you hear something that sounds wrong, so what you should do is you go and ask a higher level. And then if this higher level is also not enough, you go to a higher level. But in life, we don't know sometimes what to do and what not to do. So, Baruch Hashem, God brought you into Eretz Israel, and you had the opportunity to ask this rabbi, and you fixed what you did wrong. So just this morning I talked about, says Rabbi Abau, was one of the great Amoraim from the Gemara. And he, in Eshet Chayil, is written, "Batishak leyom acharon." She will laugh to the end of days, which means to the next world. And they're talking here about the neshama. They will explain. And it means that the reward that we are going to get is in the next world. So it says Rabbi Abau, before he died, God showed him the reward is waiting for him. And he was so happy, he couldn't believe what a reward he's getting. Wow, I thought that I'm doing it for nothing. And now, look at this reward. So it's been asked, well, 1 minute. This sounds a little strange. Rabbi Abau is a tzaddik. He knows that if you do good, you get rewarded. So what was he so amazed? He was a great tzaddik. So they say that, you see, when you're doing things, you have Yetzirah. Not always you do the right thing. Sometimes you do the wrong thing. And then the question is, like this guy, a poor guy, and he had a relative, very rich guy. And one day he heard that his relative, the next month, is doing a wedding for his son. So he was very happy. Of course, he's going to be invited. A week before the wedding, he bought less and less food in order to be hungry, really hungry when it comes the day. The evening before, he didn't eat. Preparing himself. He wants to have the feast. The next morning, nobody comes to invite him. And he's getting hungry. You know, he didn't eat from the evening and he didn't eat a lot the whole week. When it came to 12 o'clock, his stomach, as I said, would glue to his back. Like he had to eat. So he had onions. And how do you say it's known?
Radish
and onion. So he ate radish and onion, you know, and all the gases were waiting, looking for a way out from his body. He was starving. Suddenly a knock at the door. A messenger from this relative says, "Oh, we forgot to invite you. Of course you're invited. You come now. You're welcome to the feast." He goes hardly walking, gets to the table, and sees all the good stuff on the table. He cannot eat anything. He's fooled up. He cannot eat anything. So this relative comes and buys. The food is no good. He says, "The food is very good. The problem is I ate onions and what do you say?
Radish.
And radish. And I've got no place to eat anything." Now, this is the way it is in life. When we fill ourselves with nonsense, we take the way out from eat all the good things, all the mitzvahs. When we are only on the physical world, we don't leave a place for the spiritual way, place. Now, you have a double work, double job. You have to fix it. You have to take out the nonsense and put in the good stuff. Imagine to yourself this guy is putting dirt in front of his entrance. And then, when he has to go home to the door, he has to move the dirt. And he's thinking, why? Why do I have to work so hard? People will laugh at him. He says, "You're stupid or something? You put the dirt there. Why did you put the dirt there?" Now, what is Rabbi Abau saying? Rabbi Abau, he thought, of course you get rewarded for what you do. But when you do something wrong, and you're fixing the wrong thing, you get rewarded for this?
Two
so he saw, you got rewarded
right.
for this. It was unbelievable. It was
Two
amazing.
Wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, but see, that's what is amazing with God. God rewards you even when you fix the obstacles, you put them by yourself. That's what he saw. That's a big lesson for us. We do a mistake, so we have to fix it. So when you fix it, you think, okay, I fixed it, now I'm doing a mitzvah, so I now get the reward for the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Abau, you're not only going to get reward for the mitzvah, you're also going to get reward for the job you put in order to put away what? The obstacle you put there.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. And this was, he was amazed. And this is what is Chak Liyom Acharon. When we come to the next world and we will realize that we are getting rewarded not only for the mitzvahs, but also for trying to fix the sins that we did. And this is unbelievable.
Sure.
sort of like how important psychologically that you take responsibility for your mistake and you try to rectify it, because it gives you a feeling of freedom and that nobody's standing in the way of what you want to achieve.
Yes, so now you have even a better feeling, because you know that the fight by itself is going to, you're going to be rewarded. So in other words, if we do something not very nice, something a little wrong, so put your efforts to fix it. And think that all on the effort itself, you get rewarded. It's unbelievable. This is when we walk in the way of God. And this is why the Torah in our parsha, the end of Sefer Shmot, is telling again and again, Kasher tziva al pi al, let's read it in. First of all, it's Kasher Asher Pakad al pi Moshe. And then we'll see it again. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. Kasher tziva Hashem et Moshe. By the way, I say it's 18 times against 18 blessing of Shmone Esre, which is another issue. But here we see that even if we are very knowledgeable, very clever, and we think we know it all, we still don't do things by ourselves. We do things that God tells us to do. And if we, regarding choosing a rabbi, as we said, we have inside the truth point, and we will know. If you really want to know he's the right rabbi, you will find out. Yeah, you had the feeling for many years that he was wrong. You had the feeling. It was inside you. You knew something is wrong. And this is the way to look inside us and to understand. And Bezrat Hashem also to realize that even if we do a mistake, we get rewarded for fixing it.